the sight of the Lord. Well, you're here in the Lord's day in the house of God. Praise God for that. I trust it'll be right in the sight of the Lord. But we don't live our Christian lives all right here in this room. Amen. We live day to day. And are we doing right in the sight of the Lord? And this King Josiah did. And there's a lot to be learned by him. And I thought we'd take time. Now, the scriptures we'll cover in this are really two chapters, 22 and 23. We're not going to take time to read them both. But I thought we would take time to read chapter 22. And so if you'll follow along to get the understanding of what's going on here as we look at the life of Josiah, one of the kings. And we'll begin at verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began the reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Well, hallelujah. And walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And notable, he's a young man. Young men don't always think right, do right, especially if their fathers and grandfathers didn't. You know, they follow a path. And yet this young man did. It's just amazing. And we'll take note how the word of God had effect on him. Now, if you're here and you're saved and born again, at some point, the Word of God had effect on you. In my life, it brought conviction, and I knew that I was a sinner headed for hell. Outside of the grace of God, outside of Jesus Christ and His shed blood, I was going to hell. You know how that affected me? It's through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God took the Word of God and did something in me. And this is what will happen to Josiah here that we see. Anyways, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left. Turned not aside to the right hand or the left. He stayed on the straight and narrow. Verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. Now he's around 26 years old. That's a young guy. That the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. So the offerings were being taken as there was assembly at the house of God. Verse 5, and let them deliver into the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. I guess the house of God is important to the house to God. Amen? And we'll get to that. Number 6. Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into the hand, because they dealt faithfully. Isn't that an amazing thing? They were honest men. And so you'd give certain amount of money to the carpenters. They had certain timber to purchase, the masons, whatnot. And there was no writing down and holding them accountable to everything, to bring the receipts and every single thing, because they were honorable. They were honest. And God notes that here. That's why that verse is there. How wonderful it is to have a testimony of being honest. Amen? That brings glory to God. Verse 8. In Hilkiah, the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And that always fascinated me. Where did they find it? Where they lost it? Is it possible to lose the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord? Yeah. I think the country is strewn with churches who've lost the word of the Lord. And yet assemble with good intentions, good people, sweet people, kindness, but more of a social gathering than the meeting around the Word of God. If we have not the Word of God, there's no reason to be here. I mean, yesterday was a day of fun for the primetimers. That could be said of Sunday mornings in many a church. It was a day to be of recreation, fellowship, and these are good, but that doesn't make the church. The church surrounds us around the Word of God. It's focused on the Word of God. This is what it's all about here. I grew up in a church where this was not all it was about. About a lot of pomp and circumstance. about this statue and that statue, this statue and that statue. A lot of stuff. But to say we studied the Word of God, no, I didn't have that. I had religion. And so it's notable, this phrase in here, that they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord, where it was lost. God help us, never lose the Bible. Lose sight of the Word of God. And so he says, I found the book. Gave the book to Shaphan. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, and that's another point, wouldn't you say? It's great to have a book, but not to tuck under your arm and march in the church and out of the church and call it good. You got to read the book. You got to love the book. You got to be in the book. You got to invite the book to have an effect in your life. Verse 9, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of them to do the work, and they have oversight that have the oversight over the house of the Lord. So we did as you commanded us. We're taking care of the house of God. Verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law. How old is he? 26. He's hearing the word of God, arguably the very first time. That he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Archbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azahiah, a servant of the king's, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. You can just imagine, the book is read and the Holy Spirit of God just impressed upon this young man, this young king. And all he could see was, we are in trouble. This is what God has said in his book. We've not followed the book. Our fathers have not done the book. We've not read the book. And here we see what we have not done and should have done, or what we have done and should not have done. And he rent his clothes. A little bit of a panic. Verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Archbor, and Shaphan, and Azahiah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, and the son of Tikvah, and the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. They talked with her, and they explained everything. They told her what the king has sent them to do. What's going on here? And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, Josiah. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. The hammer is coming down on Judah because of its years of wickedness, including under the reign of the kings prior to him, prior to Josiah. 17, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. So God has determined and to give word to this king, to all of Judah, through Huldah, the prophetess at that time, that the hammer is coming down on this place. Very foreboding. Verse 18, but to the king of Judah. So, wrath is coming, but to the king of Judah. God honors each individual. You know that? How you live, how you think, how you live, how you worship your God, how you're in the Bible or not. Each individual stood out here, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, you know, these words that have just been said, in other words, that the hammer is coming down on Judah. And all this evil, my wrath is going to be poured out because of their evil. In light of all these words, he says, which thou hast heard, verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. It mattered to God. The individual matters to God. I don't care if your spouse follows God or not. I don't care if your children are, your parents were. I don't care if your job site, I don't care what anything around you. You as an individual matter to God. And the decisions you make, the choices you make, and how you regard this book matters to God. And he'll deal with you accordingly. He wants to deal with you as a loving father to a loving child. You know, let's love him. Let's love our father. Let's pay heed to his words, what our father is telling us, what he's guiding us to do, what not to do for our good, for our protection, and for the cause of Christ. Verse 20, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all of the evil which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So they brought this whole message to the king. Now, I'm sure he had mixed emotions. You know, he's going to die in peace. He's never going to see any of this. God is not going to bring wrath upon Judah until after indeed he has passed on into glory. Nonetheless, that's like a dark cloud hanging over his people. Not likely a lot of them will be gone as well. He's only 26. But he's going to bring it upon the generations that follow. So, kind of a clue to you and I, our following generations, it matters what we do and how we live. We have impact, you know. Make God close to you. If you're not close to God, don't expect the kids to be, the grandkids to be, and so on and so forth. You know? And God is no respecter of persons. The king could have been wrapped up in his whole mess as well, but he was not. Everything came to light because they found the book of the law. And that's wonderful that you have the book. You don't have to go looking for it. Amen? Okay, now... I can tell you that 23, we'll read a few verses into 23. Then we begin to look at some of the things that, in fact, the king did that we would want to take heed of and apply to our own lives. Now, in 23, he says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of the... Well, that's a good thing to start with, huh? Go up into the house of the Lord. Be faithful to the house of God. Why? Well, that's where the word is taught and preached. And praise is given to God. You know, it is important to gather. That's why we're told in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake it not. Be there. Or be square. Be there for Christ. Be that there for you. Be there for your family. For your church family. Everyone is needed. Everyone has a part. Everyone matters. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Jerusalem, and king went up into the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah, verse 2, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And they all assembled. And it says, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. They had a good Bible reading. Kind of what we've been doing, reading the Bible, all hearing what the Word of God has said, all resting in your ears, going through the brain to affect the heart. Already, I trust God has said something to you, to me. And we're going to look at specifics here, but I would hope that the Word of God got our attention. He's saying something. He's saying about Josiah doing right. When so many had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And how that testimony came to be. Because he paid attention to the Word of God. He applied it. Humbled himself. We're going to look at all these things, but continue now. Verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. He made a covenant. We'll talk about that. To walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So the people are coming behind his leadership. He said, I'm going to take this we're going to take these steps. We're going to do what we can do. We're going to try to follow this book. And the people acknowledged. Now, it's given a general assessment. I don't know that every single one there would and did. But there was consent. The most important thing is the Word of God was read. They heard the Bible for the first time for many, no doubt. How many generations had passed when that book was somewhere in the house of God? So verse 4, and we'll see here how he gets started. We won't read the rest of the chapter. Notice verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. There was Baal worshiping going on for years. And the king Manasseh, King Amon, wicked. And for the grove and for all the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And I can tell you that it continues and continues and continues. For time's sake, we're not going to, but I'll say this. Verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests. Verse 6, and he brought out the grove. Those are little tabernacle sections in the house of God. And wherever they might be, places that were established to worship and burn candles and whatnot to Baal, you see. The groves. 7, he break down the houses of the Sodomites. 8, he defiled the high places. Verse 10, he defiled Topheth. Why? The last part of that verse 10 says, because they made their kids pass through the fire to Molech. I mean, there was so much wickedness, it was beyond comprehension of what they were doing to these false idols and false gods. And the book of God was in the house of God, never read. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes and followed that leadership. High places. Verse 14, he break in pieces the images and cut down the groves. And verse 16 says, and Josiah turned himself. He looked over here. He spied the sepulchres. And in these sepulchres were the bones of these who had done this wickedness throughout the year. And he had their bones all taken out and burned, except for one. I thought this was great. And again, it speaks to the individual and it's his importance to God, that you matter. Notice, over 17, they came to one. Then said he, what title is this? That's like, what monument is this? What epitaph, whatever is here that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar Bethel. There is a guy who came before and he preached the same thing you're saying. And what did Josiah do with him? He says, and he said, verse 18, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone. So God recorded that. Why? I think because it speaks to the individual. Speaks to the individual. If the whole world is against God, you be for God. You know? Make a covenant like he did before the people. I don't care what all goes on. I don't care what my peers do, my neighbors do. I don't care. I am going to follow God. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to draw close to him. I'm going to do things to please him. You see, the individual matters. You matter to God. All right, now. In reviewing the life of Josiah, we see a number of actions, changes, and resolves that he made that pleased God, worthy of our consideration and emulation. We should follow these things. And so let's start. I got a little list here. Number one, he cared for the house of the Lord. Now, we've mentioned that before. Notice verses 4-6 again. Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver. Add it up. Total up the money we got there at the house of God, which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it in the hands of the doers of the work. All right, so get the carpenters, verse 6, builders, masons, and let them, give them the money. Let them do what they got to do. Why? Take care of the house of God. It's a mess. See? That's why upkeep around here is important. I believe we need to give this house some proper priority. The church is God's property. It was dedicated to Him, sanctified, and set apart for Him. It ought to receive the utmost attention and care for His glory. Its condition represents our love and adoration for the King of Kings. Would you agree? You gotta take care of it. And by the way, you're all involved in that, in your giving. You're giving goods towards taking care of this place. Not just paying the lights, the heat, and all these different things, but in repairs. And some of you are involved in the work. And you're getting it done. Cleaning, window washing, vacuuming, mowing. We got a crew that's assigned on a schedule. Every week there's somebody else that's mowing, trimming, making the property look good. There's some of you that take care of the flowers. You take care of the bushes, the trees, the building, the painting. We're having all kinds. Mark Sorrell put all these lights in. Thank you, Mark. Wouldn't take a penny. Listen, a lot of work's been done. Dan over there, to that building, has with those canopies, what he did makes it 100% better. Classier. The house of God. I love that. Redid a whole room, gutted a room up here. There's some men that have the know-how and are willing and do the work. And women, do the work. The house of God should be given priority. I believe that, and I'm thankful for you. May we keep the house of God where it ought to be. And you say, well, I really haven't done. Well, if you're given, God bless you. And if you see some trash on the ground outside, pick it up. Do something for Jesus, man. Should be a delight to do something in the house of God. All right, number one, he cared for the house of God. Number two, he listened to the word of God. Of course, we've made much about that already, but verse 10 and 11. 10 and 11. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. The resulting changes he made, chapter 23, they tell us how he listened to the word of the Lord. Intently, obediently, and humbly. Because certainly he humbled himself there. But he obviously listened intently because he started a program of cleaning up the country, cleaning up his realm, the kingdom, for the glory of God. We're to read it, study it. Look at Colossians chapter 4. We'll look at a few verses here in that regard. How can you talk about our responsibility to the Word of God and not look at some verses? I think in truth there's hardly a message to taught or preached here. We don't refer to the Word of God and our responsibility to it. They're all reminders how important the Bible should be to us. But in Colossians 4, verse 16, notice what it says. It says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Read the book. Read the book in the house of God. Read the book at home. Read the book any and everywhere. But read the book. That's the important thing. We're to do that. We're to study it. 2 Timothy. I'm sure you're very familiar with 2:15, but 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study. What does that mean? Well, for many a student, kids going back to school in September, it means, oh no. Why is that? Well, it's work. They've had the whole summer off. It's great and wonderful. Now they're going to go back to school books, studying, you see, writing papers, doing homework, work. You know why a lot of Christians don't spend a lot of time in the Word of God? Because it's work. It's work. That's why in 2:15, notice, study to show thyself approved unto God. He's the one you're pleasing here. A workman. God very honestly addresses what that means. Sometimes it's just plain work. Other times, reading the Bible is just a sheer delight, and you're in a cloud. Not always. Sometimes you got to just put your pedal to the metal and just stay with it. Stay in there. In spite of all the distractions the devil could bring in your life. And doesn't he bring distractions when you're reading the Bible? You know, if it's not the kids yelling or the dog barking, the phone ringing or something, it's a Jehovah Witness at the door wanting to talk with you. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us in the book. And here's a good group to follow in the book of Acts, chapter 17, Acts 17. Remember the testimony of Paul as he's going through these various villages, preaching in the synagogue and then to the people. And winning people to Christ, and some listened, some didn't. Chased out of an awful lot of towns for his life. But in Acts 17, verse 11, it says, these were more noble. Who? Well, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night. Why by night? To save them from death. Unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Why? Because that's what he did. That was his mode of operation. He'd go address the Jews first and preach to them in the synagogues. Verse 11, these people of Berea, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched, they listened intently. And then what they were hearing, really? Really? And then he'd go home and they'd search the scriptures to see what that guy taught. What Paul was preaching and teaching, he said, it is. Wow. They searched the scriptures daily to see those things were so. In the book, being in the Bible, we need to give it a priority. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. And notice, if you would, verse 4. Here, the devil tempting Jesus before his public ministry. He was in the wilderness. And he comes to him to tempt him, to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to tempt God. Verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know what he's doing? He's daring him. Young people, if people dare you to do something bad, wrong, stupid, don't do it. You say, well, I'll look stupid. I'll lose my pride. Throw your pride aside. Do that which is right in the sight of the Lord and smart. Verse 4, but he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written. Well, that's always a good thing to do. Get your decision maker from the Bible. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, yeah, I can make all of these stones. I can make every grain of sand on the beaches of the entire world into loaves of fresh hot bread. I can do that. But I don't live by that. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Is that the tribute that you give to this book? How important it is. We'll talk in the message again about it, so I won't pursue any more, but giving the Word of God priority in your life and then and just doing it, obeying it. Deuteronomy 27. It's one thing to know the book, be able to quote the book. You know, you can quote a whole bunch of verses. If it's not really being heeded or applied in your life, really what good is it? Then it's you're just deceiving yourself. Be a doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, right? James tells us. But notice in Deuteronomy 27, verse 10, thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So you have to make a resolve to read the book, study the book, meditate on the book, and determine that I'm going to follow the book. And that's what Josiah did. What a great example he is. Great example. We have time for one more. We'll finish up the list next week. But also in our text, 2 Kings 22, we're going to look at 23 for this. Oh, no, 22, verses 11 and 19, the fact that he humbled himself before the Lord. Now, 11, remember, 22:11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Okay, kings don't just necessarily do that. For a king to just tear his clothes and drop to the ground. Kings are, you know, they're elevated. They don't do those things unless they're humbling themselves. And verse 19, remember when we read how that when Huldah, the prophetess, gave the word of the Lord, the word said that God was going to bring the hammer down on Judah, but not on him, not on this king, in the way that he would wait till after this king had passed from this earth. But notice, God noted his humility in verse 19. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, you were humbled when you heard the Bible, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me. I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thy... So, you're not going to see all this pain and agony and wrath of God on you and on your realm. Why? Because he humbled himself. I've said the phrase many times before, nobody stands proud before God. You can't do it. The day you and I will be face to face with the Savior, we're not going to be doing this. Aren't you glad I'm here? I can imagine we just crumble to the ground, almost in fear of looking at him. This represents him. We should humble ourselves before the Word of God. Humble enough to read it, and humble enough to say, this God wants me to do this. God does not want me to do that. Make resolves as a result. I'm not going to do those wrong things anymore. I'm going to do what God wants me to do to please him. He humbled himself. We need to humble ourselves. Go to James chapter 4. A number of places in the Bible speak to that. Hebrews, James, chapter 4, notice if you would, verse 10. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what he did to Josiah. Amen? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, notice verse 6. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Apparently, humbling yourself before God pleases the Lord. It's an acknowledgement that he is indeed God, and you're not. And that you honor him. Back up the verse. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's a humble spirit among others. We teach our young people to honor the elderly, honor adults, honor seniors. That's being thrown out in society today. Seniors are like castaways. To the young mind today, I still believe that when adults come into a room, young people should stand up and give them their chair. I believe that. It's a display of humility and humbleness and honor to their years. That is wonderful. I believe God is pleased humbling ourselves. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to teach our young people humility. And they're going to learn that by seeing that in you and I. You know, if we're always proud, let me tell you something. I see many a proud man, and I can tell you their boys are just as proud. Humility. God is pleased with that. Look, it says, yea, verse 5, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And notice, if you would, in Psalm 51. Now, you recall that Psalm 51 is notably David's great psalm of repentance. His acknowledgement of his great sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah, her husband, Uriah the Hittite, murder, adultery and murder. And the Spirit of God, of course, spoke through the prophet to him and said, "Thou art the man." And he was crushed. And this whole psalm is tremendous. But notice, if you would, verse 17. This, David notes this: "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." In other words, you know, there were offerings were brought unto the Lord to the house of God for God. And the offerings, the sacrifices, these were notable, commanded by God. But here's the true sacrifices that mean something to God. Notice, it says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David acknowledges that though he had great sins, that he could be forgiven because God acknowledges a contrite, a humbled spirit. God, humility pleases God. May we be like that. May we be like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Our last point, last place now. Come on. Philippians chapter 2. Here we have a segment of scripture that speaks to the humility that Jesus demonstrated when he left the realms of glory, heaven, down to this little dot in the universe and was born with purpose to die. Verse 5, Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you." In other words, let this perspective, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is God, but made himself of no reputation. Now I wonder, if I had the power of God, would I have come so humbly? He made himself of no reputation. He could have come with all pomp and circumstance. He could have had a million angels come down this stairway from heaven. Remember Trump when he first came down, first went years ago before he come down the escalator? You know what I mean? It's pomp and circumstance, right? It's look at me. Now I'm not saying for him against, I'm not speaking politically here. I'm telling you that this was a position of pride, pomp and circumstance. Man created that room, that building, and that escalator, and it was quite awe-inspiring. Can you imagine what God could do coming from the heavens down to earth with a billion angels? And here comes Jesus, just so glowing white. That's not what he chose to do. There will be a time when he will be elevated. And you and I will be present. It'll be amazing. It'll be epic. But that's not how he came to earth. He came as an example, you and I. This is what we should follow. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal God, but made himself of no reputation," verse 7, "and took upon himself him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Do you think humility matters to God? Yeah, I think it does. We're to be humble. All right, so according to what we've learned here in 2 Kings 22, 23, so far with Josiah, the book made all the difference. Being the book. If it changed him, changed the nation, the whole direction of the nation. It could change you and I. Change our families. Change our church. He cared for the house of the Lord. He listened to the word of the Lord intently to where it had an effect on him. And he humbled himself before the Lord. We'll continue next week. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for its instruction. Help us now, each and every individual. We matter to you to follow it, to embrace it, to love you and live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.